I'd like to welcome everybody today. We have a few visitors with us. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. I know God is pleased. We do have a prayer request that we need to address before we get started. Glenda Vance has been going through some health issues lately, and we need to remember her in our prayers individually, but also let's go to God in prayer before we get into our lesson and pray on behalf of Glenda. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. We don't want anything to stand between you and us from you hearing our prayer. Dear God, we ask right now that you be with Glenda. Please help her get feeling better where she can be back at worship with us. Dear God, we ask that you be with those that we have a number of our regular members that are out of town, that are going to be going out of town also. We ask safety for them. Let them get back to us safely, and just keep them safe and in your care. Dear God, be with us the rest of our worship to you. We hope that everything done so far and in the rest of the service will be done in spirit and in truth and will be pleasing to you. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Before we get started, I just wanted to make sure everybody knew I do not work for an insurance company. I am not trying to sell you insurance. I have no connection whatsoever, especially with Allstate. I do like their commercials. I like that mayhem guy that's always getting in people's way and everything. But that's kind of where this lesson came from. Allstate has those commercials. You're in good hands with Allstate. Well, we're in better hands with God. I have about the same opinion of insurance companies as I do doctors and lawyers, and I hope there's no doctors or lawyers in our presence today. But thinking about those commercials, I was thinking about our lives, that a lot of times mayhem comes into our life. Unexpected. We are hit sometimes right between the eyes with unexpected situations in our life. I'm sure there's been times where many of us have felt so alone that you feel like you're going through life without anybody to back you up. Very apprehensive. I know Stacy has been apprehensive a little bit lately. She's going to be having hip surgery tomorrow and hip replacement, and been a little apprehensive. I know Don was a little apprehensive before his surgery recently, his hernia surgery. We sometimes wonder, does God even care about us? That maybe what we're going through, we might see people not care what you're going through. Maybe through apathy, maybe through lack of concern, maybe just because they're wrapped up in the midst of their lives. Maybe not so much that they don't care about you, but they've got things right in front of them that they're concerned with. But people sometimes think that people don't care about them. And if people that we see don't, what about God that we don't see? And I'll be the first to say, life is sometimes confusing. Just when I figure out the answer, life usually changes the question. And we're a lot of times confused. We don't know which way to turn. That's me a lot of times, the apprehension of if I just knew what to do, then I could put effort into it. Sometimes you don't, you're surrounded and you don't know which way to turn. And one of the things that a lot of people, you know, just psychologically goes through, that nobody understands what you're going through, that you feel like you're in this alone, that nobody understands. Well, we're in good hands with God. God does understand. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter explains, he says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Amen. He wants us to turn to him. You know, we have friends, we have brothers and sisters that we can usually turn to. But there's times when people let us down. God never lets us down. He's always there, and he wants us to come to him. That's what he's, one of the things that he's there for. He wants us to cast our cares upon him. In Exodus, when Moses was on Mount Sinai, and he is literally conversing with God, God using a burning bush to communicate with Moses. The Israelites have been in captivity in Egypt for over 400 years. You know that sometime through their minds, doesn't God love us? As they're enslaved, working from sun up to sun down, being treated cruelly at times, don't you know the prayers they offered up? Is God even listening? Nothing has happened for us in 400 years. And God reveals to Moses, and he wants Moses to tell the Israelites. In verse 7, he says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." He knows what they've been going through. They haven't been going through this 400 years of slavery and bondage and oppression unnoticed. And God, at the right time, has prepared Moses to lead them out of this bondage. In Psalm 55, verse 22, the psalmist wrote, "Cast your burden on the Lord." Very, very similar to what the Apostle Peter was saying. Cast your burden onto the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. It does not say he will never permit the righteous to have to go through negative things. There's not one of us in here that hasn't gone through something or some things, sometimes multiple things at the same time, but he will never permit the righteous to be moved from him. The only way we can be moved from God is if we choose. Amen. And he wants us to cast our burden on him. Psalm 31 verse 3, it proclaims, "For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." This verse is not only a proclamation, it is a request. You are my rock and fortress. Lead me and guide me. And with that attitude, nothing can stop us. Psalm 119, verse 105. I think Preston mentioned this today in Bible class about how your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If we allow it to be, how many times do we as people try to find our way through other things? We try to find our compassion. We try to find our peace. We try to find our comfort through other avenues that the world offers. Here we see your word is the way out. Your word is the lamp to my feet and a light to my path, not these other things that the world offers. And we need to be guided by God's word, not these other things that the world is drawn away by. Our scripture reading today, and I appreciate Chris reading it, these words drive the point home so much more, knowing the circumstances, the whens, the whys that the Apostle Paul wrote this. He wrote these words while imprisoned in Rome to the Christians in Philippi, and he says, "Be anxious for nothing." If anybody had cause to be anxious, it would be Paul. He's in prison. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You either understand verse 7 or you don't. We can't explain it to people that don't get it. They have to understand that themselves. You get to a point in your life as a Christian, that peace of God, you can have the peace of God even in the midst of trials. You don't have the peace of God through the absence of trials. You have it while in the middle of it. And as Paul said, it surpasses all understanding. You can't describe it. You can't draw a picture of it. You have it. And it's found only through Christ Jesus. And it will guard your hearts and minds. Why don't, the big question, the question of the day, why don't we do like the scriptures say? Why don't people? And I'm not necessarily saying why don't we, that we don't, but why don't people lean more on God? And one of the things that it appears to me is a lack of faith. That maybe they doubt that God really will do those things that he has promised. In Hebrews 11, 6, the Hebrew writer, and we're kind of jumping ahead in Preston's Sunday morning Bible class, a couple more weeks we'll be here, but the writer says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Isn't that one of our goals as a Christian, to please God? God has assured he'll please us and support us and comfort us, save us, guard our hearts and minds for us, things like that. But one of the things that we need to do is please him. We're told to come together every first day of the week and offer worship to him. Sing songs of praise. Live our lives in a way that will please him. For everything we do, due to the glory of God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Goes on to say, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he is God. One of the reasons why maybe people don't lean on God, maybe they don't believe that God is who he is. They believe in a concept of a God, but that's all. It goes on to say, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently, not nonchalantly, not go through the motions. Diligently seek him. Jesus said numerous times to his followers, some to his disciples, some to his dear 12 apostles, some to his inner circle, you know, Peter, James, and John. He says, oh, you of little faith. In Matthew 6, where Jesus is talking about our earthly needs, he says, God knows that you need things to wear. God knows that you need things to eat. God knows that we need physical necessities. But as it goes on to say in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. But there in verse 30, he says, oh, you of little faith. He provides for the birds. You don't think he's going to provide for you? In Matthew 8, verse 26, during a storm, the apostles are scared of what nature has thrown their way, what mayhem has thrown their way. And Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, I created nature. And he tells nature, hush, be still. And it stopped immediately. In Matthew 14, when the image of Jesus walking on the water, and Peter wanted to do the same, and Jesus says, come on. You want to come? Come on. And so Peter leaps out of the boat and is walking on the water to Jesus. And he started doubting. He took his eyes off Jesus and was looking at the waves. He's saying, what in the world am I doing? And he starts sinking. He told Peter, oh, you of little faith. And in Matthew 16, he's telling the disciples, they didn't understand him because they doubted. And they didn't have that understanding. And he's telling them, oh, you of little faith. Psalm 56, verse 3, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Whenever I am afraid, whether it be an upcoming surgery, facing turmoil in the home, whether it be a trip coming up, financial disaster that is on the horizon, just turn on the TV for 15 minutes. You have no shortage of things to worry about. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. The other thing, and it kind of ties in with the lack of faith, is we try to do it ourselves. Instead of relying on God, we try to do it ourselves. Put me in this category. I'll work harder. I'll figure it out. And I know that if I do it, other people probably do it too. That we try to rely on ourselves rather than God. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. God can do it a lot better than I can. God's got better tools. God's got better wisdom. God's got better know-how than me. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. That's something that's hard for man to remember. Not just me, but all of us to remember. We try to rationalize and look at things out of our eyes instead of God's eyes. And it's not that way. God uses the foolishness of man, as it says in 1 Corinthians, the foolishness of man to get things done. We try to rationalize and think, what would we do? God doesn't always do that. God doesn't use the path that we would take. Psalm 46:10. Sometimes, instead of spinning our wheels, work, 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 what can I do to get this done? Sometimes we just need to slow down. And as Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. A lot of times, I know I can be putting forth a lot of effort, a lot of energy. But it's like I'm running on a treadmill. Putting out a lot of energy, but not getting anywhere. Be still and know that I am God. I am in control of things. Sometimes no matter how much effort we put into something, it takes God to get us out. This verse is probably one of the most quoted, most used, more lessons coming from this verse than just about any other in the Bible. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world. Just that phrase right there. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
That's how much he loved us. That he gave a sacrifice we could never come up with, ever, worthy of the Son of God. That's how much he loved us, that we might be saved through him. When you face things in life, when you face surgeries or financial mishaps or kids, any of us that have been parents, we understand. Just kids, talk. We should name our kids Mayhem. Right, Brent? Sometimes kids are mayhem enough for us. Even though they're little, right, Brandon? Even though they're little, they can be mayhem. They're a handful. But remember, we're in good hands with God. Let's rely on God, not ourselves. Hopefully this lesson and these verses, you can take the outline with you, maybe reread some of these this week. Hopefully it will be one of encouragement for us to go through things realizing that God, if God is for us, who can be against us? If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, if you need prayers of your brothers and sisters, if there's things in your life that you need to repent of, that is one thing you have to do. Nobody else can do that for you. Nobody else can repent for you. That's one of the things you can do. God wants us to pray and go to him and lean on him in prayer. If you've been looking for a congregation to work and worship with and would like to identify with us here at South Valley, by all means, use this opportunity or just let somebody know that you want to be part of South Valley. If there's anything we can do for you, if you've been studying and realize that you need to be baptized, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. God gave his only begotten Son that we may be saved through him, through baptism. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we have the opportunity. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your need be known while Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.